actually transcendental knowledge is distributed, or the transcendental knowledge flows through question answers. Do you remember that verse from Bhagavad Gita? Tadviddhi
Anupadena Pariprasnena
Pariprasnena
Jnanam Jnanina Sarva Darshana.
Very good. Pariprasnena Pariprasnena means?
Inquire.
Just inquiry?
Submissive.
Yeah. Sincere, submissive inquiry. So, Pariprasnena, the seeker asks question. And the person situated in knowledge, he answers the questions. Like, let's look at Bhagavad Gita. What happened? Arjun asked Krishna. Arjun's question that Krishna, I don't know what is to be done. I'm surrendering myself to you as your disciple. Shishyasteham sadhimam tam prapannam. Prapannam, surrendered. I am a surrendered soul unto you. And like this, I am becoming, as a disciple I am asking you this question. So the sincere inquiries is the basis of Bhagavad Gita. And the same way we are seeing Srimad Bhagavatam, same thing. Sincere inquiry. It began with Parikshit Maharaj. I'm going to leave my body in 7 days. What should I do now? What should be done? I'm left with only 7 days. And Sukadeva Goswami is answering. Shaunaka Rishi, on behalf of the sages in Naimisharanya, is inquiring. And Suta Goswami is answering. So this is the process. A sincere inquiry must be there. Prabhupada said that 2 kinds of people don't have any questions. One, those who understood everything. And the other, who didn't understand anything. Otherwise, the inquiry must be there. Want to know. So he's inquiring, how did it happen? How did Srimad Bhagavatam manifest? Vyasadeva had done all this, we know. But Bhagavatam was unknown. Bhagavatam didn't come directly from Vyasadeva in that way. Other things, all the way up to Mahabharata, he gave presentation. But Bhagavatam, he gave to Sukadeva Goswami. And then Sukadeva Goswami recited it to Parikshit Maharaj. And that's how Bhagavatam became manifest. Otherwise Bhagavatam was not manifest until then. That means they were just stuck with Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda. We notice that actually. Prior to that period, we see, like when you read Ramayana, you will see generally what they're aspiring for.
Heavenly
planets. All their performing austerities and whatever they're doing is just to go to heavenly planets. But the spiritual sky has been kept, not for all. For those who are really sincere seekers, those who are really intelligent, those who really wanted to elevate themselves to the higher planet, higher situation. That incident is, one chariot came from the heavenly planet to take one sage who had been, who has achieved perfection, or who had become qualified to go to heavenly planet. So chariot came to take him. So the charioteer and whoever came representing the heavenly Indra told him, see, the chariot has come for you. We have come here to receive you, to take you. Please come. Oh, heavenly planet, what is there? Sarvaloka, what is there? Oh, there is so much enjoyment. So much enjoyment. You can drink somaras. A celestial beverage. You can have so, you can live in such opulent atmosphere. There, Parijata flowers are there and the desired trees are there. Whatever you want, you'll always get that. So many such facilities. And, okay, so is it forever? So intelligent question. Is it only for the time being or is it forever? No, it's not forever. As long as your punna is there, that long you can be there. What will happen? When my punna is finished, you'll have to come down here. If I have to come down here, then why go there? So that was the question, that was the point he made. Tell me what is beyond. And then he was told about the spiritual world. Like, see, ordinary people will get stuck with sense gratification. Their desire, their expectation will be just sense gratification. The degree will vary. An ordinary person will think, oh, a nice job and a beautiful wife. My life is complete and perfect. More intelligent person will aspire more. And even more intelligent person will have to have the enjoyment even beyond this life. But the most intelligent person would seek for a permanent happiness. Permanent happiness. So that permanent happiness, where can we get that? Not in heavenly planets. Not in even higher planetary systems. Then they search, the search goes, and they think that the permanent happiness will come from Brahmajyoti. The jnana, knowledge, will lead them to merging in Brahmajyoti. And by merging in Brahmajyoti, they'll find a sort of a semi-permanent situation, but not a permanent situation. Why not permanent situation? In Brahmajyoti, the existence aspect is there. But Ananda aspect is not there. Sat aspect is there, Chit aspect is there. Existence aspect is there, consciousness aspect is there. But Ananda aspect, Ladini aspect is not there. Therefore, now the question is, how do we get that situation where we'll get permanent existence, eternal absolute knowledge, and eternal enjoyment? What is that situation? So that is given by Srimad Bhagavatam. So their question is very pertinent. In which place? In what period and what place was this first began? And we'll see that it first began at the time of creation. Not exactly at the time, but the development of that began at the time of creation. Brahma's inquiry, but no one is there to answer it. that's the situation that Brahma was in. Who am I? So Brahma had to search himself. And then he made so much endeavor. Just consider Brahma, who is, in a way, this universe is considered to be Brahma's body. Just to consider a personality whose whole whose body is the universe, actually. Because he is actually controlling the entire universe. And when Brahma leaves, the universe dissolves, as if his just as at the time of death, the body also leaves. I mean, the body is finished. When Brahma leaves, the universe is finished. So in that context, we can see, as if, I mean, he's such an exalted personality. And that personality is questioning. But no one is there to answer, and he's frustrated. But then what happened? The Lord gives inspiration. The Lord is there, and a sincere seeker, although cannot see the Lord, but he gets the answer. And what was the direction? Withdraw your senses. Don't search outside. Go inside. Go inside. Tapaha. Perform austerities. Austerity means to withdraw our consciousness, our senses internally. Generally, the tendency is to run outwardly, run out. Generally, we want to, like dhayate vishayan pungsha, the consciousness is always running externally to enjoy. So, and austerity is actually the objective of austerity is to curb that tendency. To curb that tendency. Generally we want to do that, but no, don't do that. Restrain. That is the meaning of austerity. Tapaha. So Brahma then withdrew his consciousness. And then projected his consciousness internally. And when he projected his consciousness internally, he heard a sound. A beautiful sound. And to him the sound appeared to be the sound of Omkar. But actually it was the sound of Krishna's flute. He heard Krishna's flute. But that sound came in the form of Omkar. Om. That's the first sound. And then he followed that sound. He meditated on that sound. Om. And as a result of that sound, I mean meditation on the sound, Gayatri became manifest. That Om actually then developed into Bhur Bhuvaha Swaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargadevasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yona Prachodayat Gayatri. So then he, as he meditated on Gayatri, then the transcendental knowledge, the Vedas, that means the spiritual sky became manifest to Brahma. So that is how Brahma received. Brahma did not receive directly, externally through question answer that way, but Brahma's questions were answered internally. And the transcendental knowledge thus develops internally. Tene Brahmarida Adi Kavai Brahma Rida. That Brahma Gyan Adi Kavai Rida, in the heart of the Adi Kavi, the original realized soul. That is Brahma. The transcendental knowledge was revealed in the heart of Brahma. So although the endeavor is external, but the revelation is internal. Dibya Gyan Hriday Prakashita. Prakashita. Prakashita means manifest. Hriday means in the heart. The transcendental knowledge is revealed in the heart. Nayam atma pravachanena labhya na medhaya na bahuna shrutena. This transcendental knowledge cannot be achieved by pravachanena, various discussions, na medhaya, through our memory and intelligence, na bahuna shrutena, not through extensive studies. That is not how this knowledge will be received. Bahuna shrutena. But through tenaiva vibrinyate tanum syam. When one surrenders unto the self-realized soul, and through the process of devotion, this knowledge will be revealed. That is the process. So, that is what Srimad Bhagavatam is actually giving us. Until and unless we come to the point of Srimad Bhagavatam, the transcendental knowledge will not be achieved. The transcendental knowledge will be revealed when we follow the process. Dibya Gyan Hriday Prakashita. Prema Bhakti Jaha Vite. Through this Dibya Gyan, what will happen? Prema Bhakti. Loving devotion will develop. Avidya Vinasha Jate. And ignorance will be dispelled. Ignorance will be destroyed. Avidya Vinasha Jate. And Vede Gaya Jahara Charita. This is described in the Vedas. This is the real understanding of the Vedas. So, actually, Krishna is even beyond Vedas. Krishna is achieved only through Krishna. Approach to Krishna can be only through devotion, not otherwise. And devotion means surrender. Surrender through the proper process. First, surrender to the representative of Krishna. If somebody says, I won't surrender to the representative of Krishna, but I'll surrender to Krishna, Krishna will say, forget it. Like, I sent my representatives. If you don't accept them, that means you are not accepting me. I made this arrangement. If you don't accept my arrangement, that means you are not accepting me. So this is a simple process. Like, whether we like it or not, we have to have faith. And due to that faith, we make the surrender, and the rest happens. Anyway, this, we are at least very fortunate that we came to the point, we came to the place where we found this process. And we accepted. Like yesterday, I was discussing with Haji Govinda and Kirtida. They are discussing, telling me about certain anxiety. And then I also called Aditya Narayan about an anxiety about preaching in Kerala. That some other group is going to build some temple. And when that happens, then people won't come to us. Well, that may happen, but the thing is, we have to also remember that these temples are not going to give them, big temple, gorgeous temple, is not going to give them the real thing. They may go there, they may get committed and everything, but the thing is that they won't get the real stuff there. Therefore, we have to educate people through our preaching. And we have to make proper arrangements that they don't get diverted. Like for example, who will get attracted to big, big temples? Those who are just caught up with the external. Oh, gorgeous temple, big temple, so let's go. There's an attraction, but that is not the real thing. Real thing is knowledge. Like, then the question may arise, why are we building big, big temples, making these big, big arrangements? To attract them. Less intelligent people will be attracted by that. They will be attracted by that. But when they come there, then we have to give them the real stuff. So the real thing is the real stuff. Real thing is the transcendental knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. And yes, we'll make this attraction, but that is not the important thing. Bring them here and then give them a good dose of Krishna consciousness. And that dose will make them immune to attraction to those temples. They'll make them immune to that attraction. Like we see, so many groups are building so many big, big temples, but they're empty. When Prabhupada came to America, he noticed that. Their temples, the churches are empty. Similarly, we're seeing other Hindu groups are coming and building temples here, but they're empty. Although attractive, some people go there like a tourist visit. And I was telling also, I think I told Aditya Narayan, like in India, the biggest, the most attractive temples are the Birla temples. But they're empty. No one goes there. Only tourists go there. And what is their understanding of Krishna? They serve only some sugar for offering. Why? Oh, he doesn't eat. That is their understanding. Since he doesn't eat, why take the trouble to cook all this stuff? Better we eat them. But our understanding is Krishna eats. And then he gives it back to us. So they offer it to him and then eat it. There is no loss. Rather, gain. Now the food has become karma-free. Now the food has been injected with Krishna's mercy, prasad. So the main point is that our business is to give the knowledge, not just increase the number. That's another thing also. I'm sorry to say that, in many areas the number of congregation devotees are increasing, number is increasing. Right. Many people even got initiated. But commitment to the movement is practically not there. They get initiated thinking that, well, oh, I dumped my karma to this guy through initiation. Guru is there to take my karma. So now I have become free and that guy is going to suffer for me. And then no tatta. Then you don't see those guys. It happens. I'm experiencing that. They're dying to take initiation, then, but after initiation you don't see them. Even if I go to that place, they don't show up. Why did they take initiation? That means they didn't really understand it. And the thing is, this is one problem that we have, that we are not really teaching people, we are not really giving them the knowledge or the understanding. Oh, chant 16 rounds? Yeah, I'm chanting 16 rounds. For how long? 1 year? Okay, now you're qualified to get initiation. Temple president gives recommendation. That's the ultimate goal. No, that's the beginning. That's the beginning. Initiation means, literally the word means beginning, initiation, beginning, and carry on after that. And in a way, I mean, it is, I'm seeing that, the benefit of that, that, you know, like when you spend time with them, you educate them, and people are attracted to this process and sincerely accept it. So, it is not that the people don't respond to our call. They'll respond to our call provided we make that call properly. We have to make that call properly. And when they come here, they will see, they must see that yes, this is what is the real thing. And here in Shaunaka Rishi is pointing that out. He's actually expressing that point. That I can see that this is the real thing, but how did it happen? How did it happen? Where did it begin? When did it begin? How did it begin? So that is the sincere approach to that. And then when we get to know the process, then what happens? Everything becomes so easy. Like, follow the process. It's not difficult. In order to practice spiritual life, we don't have to leave home and go to the mountains or go to the forest. We can just stay wherever we are and practice the process without any difficulty. But we have to practice it properly. That's the condition. We have to practice it properly. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Premanande. Did you bring this coffee?
Pramaj, actually just want to say that we brought all these books. It's like a donation from our Nathkarma.
Oh, system. Wonderful.
So the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhriya Bhagavatam.
Oh, and, thank you.
The 7-volume Prabhupada Lila and some extra.
Yeah, I was actually considering whether to take it from Krishna, what is called Krishna.com. I mean, Alachua, or order from BBT. And of course, our thinking is taking a long time, and Krishna fortunately sent you. Actually, we have to get the book, order the books from BBT. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Where is it printed, this one?
This, we get it from same
LAVVT. They're printed in Mumbai, actually. So, see, India is... I remember in 1987, we had a BBT meeting in Sweden. And all the leaders of ISKCON assembled there, considering about the printing of the books. Harikesh Swami actually organized that. And he was a BBT trustee. And at that time, I actually proposed that why not print in India, where it will be a lot cheaper. And the quality you can control. You can send the paper, you know. I mean, if in India we don't have proper paper, then send it... Because I was taking care of the printing of books in India at that time. And I remember Harikesh Swami laughed. He was laughing. India? Today we can see India. And that LA is ordering the books from BBT India. Why? Because it's cheaper. That was my point. And look at the quality. It's better than American print.
Yes.
Thank you. So that is what will happen gradually. India will break. It is the greatest country in the world. It, because it is the greatest country in the world. And Indians now will have to work hard for that. Don't come to America, make money and have a good life. Come to America to achieve this goal. And these boys are doing that. They came to America not to get a job and earn money. They came to promote Vedic culture, which is actually universal. It's not Indian. But the Indians have the responsibility to promote it, because the rest of the world has forgotten that. One Indian came and distributed that knowledge all over the world, Srila Prabhupada. So that shows. Prabhupada himself used to say, I am one Indian made Krishna, spread Krishna consciousness in this way. If all the Indians become involved in spreading Krishna consciousness, what will happen? So my appeal at least is that those Indians who are in America, let them take up the responsibility. And some of you are doing, that's very nice. So take up this responsibility. And do it jointly. This is one thing I should have actually mentioned yesterday. Prabhupada, do you remember Prabhupada's example of lame man and blind man? A lame man is useless, blind man is useless. But a lame man who doesn't have legs, but he has good eyes. But a blind man, he has strong legs, but no eyes. So if the blind man takes the lame man on his back, then together they can achieve some wonderful things. So India is spiritually, India is materially lame, and West is spiritually blind. So what do we have to do? Climb on to the back of the Westerners and spread Krishna consciousness. So we have to, the point is that jointly we have to do it. When you do it jointly, the result is remarkable. There's an example I was actually giving yesterday. I mean, when we needed to do, we had to do official work. And fortunately, Soumya was here, Soumya Radhika was here, Amita's. And I put her in the front, like, you go and deal with them. And, you know, like, the job became so easy. Rasananda. On the other hand, if we went, then what would have happened? Oh, a bunch of Indians want to have something. No way. So that is how we have to do things. Jointly. So, materially lame and spiritually blind, let us work together. When you work together, then you become, with our inability to move goes away, and our inability to see also goes away. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Yes, Ajay?
You are mentioning about certain devotees who take initiation and then they are not connected to the Guru. And it is said that after the initiation, the relationship is between the Guru and the disciple. So, as a congregation member, as people are in preaching, do they owe some responsibility? I mean, to encourage them is obvious, but...
Yeah, sure. Hare Krishna, Suchitra. Aragol, Kamalata, where is Lalita? The thing is, you see, to tell you frankly, see, say for example, I go to some place where maybe just once a year. And people want to take initiation from me. Should I give initiation? I think that I should not. Because I'm accepting their responsibility, but I'm not fulfilling that responsibility. But what happens? I'm under pressure. Maharaj, you have to give initiation. These people chanting 16 rounds for so long and this and that. Although I tell them that, let them take initiation from somebody who is present locally and who can guide them. No, Maharaj, they have developed faith in you and you have to, you know. So then why do I give initiation? With the hope that the local devotees are going to take care of them. And that's the arrangement that Srila Prabhupada made. Prabhupada was giving initiation, but he couldn't personally take care of them. But he made the arrangements. He wrote the books. He had the temples. He had the devotees that they take care of them. But now we embarked on another situation where we have to give initiation. Now, initiation is actually, if we consider, there are two aspects, diksha and shiksha. And you know, how do I analyze this diksha and shiksha situation? The admission to the university. Say you got, you want to have, you know, you want to go to Harvard. Right. So yes, you make an effort to get admitted, but just getting the admission to Harvard is enough? Or is that everything? No, it's the beginning. Now you got the admission. Now you have to study and get the learning, get the knowledge, get the wisdom. Right. So the diksha and shiksha, the shiksha aspect is very important aspect. That's the most important aspect. Through diksha you are getting the admission, but through shiksha you are going to get the knowledge. So that, you know, and Prabhupada made that arrangement through ISKCON. This is the institution where you are going to get the knowledge. But, you know, like, if that doesn't happen, therefore, my sincere request is don't recommend unqualified individuals. Those who are not serious about spiritual life, you know, better not them to give them. I mean, I won't say better not to give them the opportunity. Like, I'm not going to say that. But I'm saying that prepare them for that, what they have come here for. And it is not, you know, dependent upon a person's education, background, or so forth. The consideration is surrender to the process. Surrender. So if you surrender, then it will happen. Just by taking initiation, it's not going to happen. And I tell you, in congregation, most of the time, the initiation amounts to just that, you know. They get the initiation, but, you know, the shiksha aspect is not there. So that's why, you know, those who are on the field, they have to make it a point. I got initiated, I got a new name, new bead. That shouldn't be the only consideration. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Is that any difference between Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Purana?
Good question. You see, like, Bhagavad Puran is Srimad Bhagavatam, no doubt. That's the ultimate. In a way, I mean, it's the same. It's the same Bhagavad Puran and Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the same.
And Guruji quoted one verse, the Prabhasanena.
Nayamatma Prabhachanena Labhya.
Yeah.
It's one of the, I have to check it. I have to check that, where it is from. You'll find the shloka book.
Yes.
You'll find it there.
It starts with Nayam.
Nayam. N-A-Y-A-M. Long A. Nayam Atma Pravachane Nalabhya. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So now let me introduce two new arrivals here. This is Suchitra and Kalavati, her daughter. I'm sorry, Kamalatha, her daughter. Suchitra lives in Orlando. You heard of Guru Gauranga? Suchitra is Guru Gauranga's wife. And Kamalatha is Guru Gauranga's daughter. There's another daughter who opened the door, but then she disappeared. She opened the door for them and then she went away. And Suchitra came to dress the deities today. Thank you, Suchitra. And these devotees, many of them are from North Carolina. Suchitra lived in North Carolina also for some time. Yeah, yesterday I was mentioning about I was staying next to Krishnadas's house at Guru Gauranga's place. So that was Suchitra's place. And they played a very important role about getting this place. It's Guru Gauranga who actually found this place. And he did all the negotiations and everything. Unfortunately, he's not here right now. He went to South Africa. He has his business there. And yeah, they have, some of them are from North Carolina, some of them are from Charlotte. And most of them, or all of them, are from the spiritual sky. Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. This is from Katha Upanishad. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo na medhaya na bahuna shrutena jame vaisha brinute tena labhas tashesha atma brinute tanusham. Katha Upanishad 1-9. So many of you will be leaving today, yeah, after breakfast. Okay. And many of you will be staying here today. Thank you. Hare Krishna.